This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
My next guest, Sue Kravitz, is here. And we're going to be talking about a really, really sad story, you know, but of course it happens globally. I suppose, you know, it's not something that, one gets to a point where one says, if we could eradicate it, get rid of it, I don't think it's ever going to happen, because I think it's part of society and the kind of things that plague society that then brings about this kind of issue that we're going to be talking about next. And the number that I'm going to throw at you now is this number, 3,500. And I don't want to really use this word, abandoned babies deserted every year. Yeah, abandoned babies, and some of the language when you start looking at and looking at researching this, then they go for unwanted babies, and I don't think that's really an aspect in essence of being unwanted. Abandoned babies, just speaks to a whole lot of other dynamics as well. A lot of abandonment happens not because unwantedness is an issue. It's, you know, socioeconomic issues and all sorts of other things are at play in that particular instance. But the number is high. 3,500 abandoned babies deserted every year. And it's safe to say child abandonment in South Africa then is on the increase and is an epidemic. And, of course, it's a growing problem. And did you know it's also a crime? And that you could also, you know, be charged with and also see yourself, you know, engaging in a jail sentence or whatever, you know, that particular criminal aspect a judge or a magistrate would feel is necessary, depending, I suppose, on the circumstances in a particular case of these. And these particular things are always personal and emotional of sorts. So let me bring Sue Kravitz into the conversation. And Sue Kravitz is the founder and director of Impilo Child Protection. Sue, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely. Sue, so when I was looking at this particular issue and you know, I mean, sad that we've got to do it and sad that it happens, I suppose the terminology that I found generally being used is parental abandonment, the issue of parental abandonment, and also then commonly also then just known as child abandonment. Is it also known as something else, you know, maybe, you know, with technology? I'm not so sure, but the kind of language I was finding was the issue of parental abandonment, which sometimes is the same usage of child abandonment.
Yes, I think it is the same thing, because and while I was listening to you introducing this topic, I hate that word unwanted.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't think it's got any place in our discussions, because the women who abandon babies are in such a desperate situation.
Yeah.
We have to reflect, yes, this is a criminal offense. Yes, many of the babies unfortunately die.
Yeah.
But they feel so desperate that they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So they will then leave the child somewhere where hopefully it will be found.
Yeah.
And we just don't have enough resources to make it easier for these women to, I hate to say it, but not abandonment, but to make another decision for their child.
Even you're so right, Sue. Even the word abandonment, I was finding difficult to comprehend, because you know, the emotion and the trauma and the decisions you have to make in a decision of this particular nature to leave your kid somewhere, and I think sometimes that deliberate attempt to put your kid somewhere where, you know, you want them to be found and you know, somebody else to look after them. That's different terminology to abandonment, in essence, from what one would pick up in the dictionary.
Yes, it's interesting that you bring that up, because sort of we talk about two kinds of abandonment.
Mm.
In essence, they're the same thing, but there's what we call a soft abandonment,
yeah,
where a baby's born and the mother disappears from the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay, she knows that the baby's safe, or she takes the baby somewhere where she's guaranteed that the baby will be found,
yeah,
and will be safe. Unfortunately, we also have a lot of hard abandonments.
Yeah.
And those are children that are left in rubbish dumps, that are found...
Pit latrines and things.
Yeah, those sorts, yeah, of things.
Yeah.
Which are horrific, but... Once again, you can't imagine the situation that these women must be in to have to make that decision.
Yeah.
Remember, many of them, probably about 30 to 40%, are pregnant because of gender-based violence.
Yeah.
So that's another issue,
yeah,
that we have to take into account. And then there's, you know, there's... They're young, they're teenagers, some women are older, the husband doesn't know, the family don't know,
hmm,
she's trying to hide it, and this is the only way that she thinks that she can get rid of the problem.
Hmm.
In Johannesburg, the Johannesburg Central Mortuary deals with about 20 dead children a month,
wow,
who don't survive their abandonments.
Yeah.
This figure of 3,500 is quite an old figure and,
yeah,
has not been really substantiated for a couple of years. But there are many, many, many abandonments happening all over the country,
mm,
very often,
sure,
every day.
Let me ask you, Sue, just to have an understanding, and this is the way I sort of approached the topic when I went in, because, you know, sometimes I'm new to a topic, or I have an understanding of the issue, but some of the detail is within all the reports and within, mm-hmm, organizations like yours. Is there, and I have to ask, is there abandonment as we are talking about, where a child is born and it's a newborn child, and that is abandonment for all the sorts of reasons that you would have given, you know, gender-based violence,
yes,
the individual is young, and I suppose one of the primary reasons also is financial issues.
Poverty.
Yeah, and unemployment, poverty, unwanted pregnancies. I've just got a list here, not aware of the remedial mechanisms available to assist the parents, labor migration, lack of family support, resentment, fear of judgment, name them, they quite
all
a few.
So that's
newborn children. Do you ever deal with abandonment where there's older children involved? What is there a different terminology for if the kid is already three, you know, two, or one and a half, or, you know, or whatever age? Because that would still, in essence, be abandonment if I deliberately just left somewhere. It doesn't need to be a newborn kid. Or is that a different thing altogether?
No, it's not different.
Mm.
It's just that the babies, there seem to be more of the newborn children. And,
yeah,
a lot of those children are also late abortions,
yeah,
which the mothers try and do themselves. So that's another whole subject. But, you know, the one-year-old that's left locked,
yeah,
or found wandering in the streets of Alex,
yeah,
or who whose mother left him locked in the shack for the last 2 days, and the neighbors eventually call the police.
Yeah.
Or a child's left at a taxi rank. Another thing, you know, you find is the woman says, I'm going to the toilet, look after my child, and never comes back.
Yeah.
So
and that would happen. That would happen in a mall. That could happen in various
in
other
church,
yeah, in a church and places like that.
All anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. So that unfortunately does happen with the older children. Once they can talk and identify themselves, you've got some information to go on.
Mm.
But a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old can't do that. And until you, the police arrive at our place in the middle of the night, and it's always the coldest night of the year, where they bring a child or siblings or whatever they, you know, to our door because these children have been left.
Yeah.
It is abandonment. You can sometimes find the parents.
Yeah.
So when the police investigate, which they obliged to, it's very often the community that helps.
Mm.
You know, they noticed so-and-so was pregnant. Suddenly she's gone, then she's back. No child, what's going on?
Mm.
And police sometimes manage to find the parents. Not that often, but sometimes they do.
Mm.
And then it becomes a criminal case for that woman.
Mm.
And as much as I support the law, I'm just wondering, you know, about our empathy for these women. I'm not encouraging it.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
saying
mm.
let's do more to say to these women, there are other ways to do this, where you can walk away and know that your baby or your child is safe.
Mm.
You don't have to put the child at risk and yourself.
Mm.
Because if you leave a baby on a rubbish dump, that's criminal. If you leave a baby at a safe place, it's not criminal.
Yeah.
It's not a criminal offense.
Okay. And, you know, I was looking at the legality and the you know, definitions of what child abandonment or parental abandonment was. And I saw this particular sentence: severe form of child neglect, abuse, withholding proper care and protection. And I thought that's a pretty mild way to be you know, describing something as, you know, quite emotional and severe and whatever. So does it fall into a category of child neglect and child abuse?
Absolutely.
Mm.
It falls under that.
Yeah,
umbrella.
I thought that'd be a more critical, a more, you know, a harsher, you know, description of it. It's like, you know, in South Africa, we call, you know, people who break into your house, we call it, you know, armed robbery or whatever. In the United States, they have a beautiful name for it. They call it home invasion. You know, I had a home invasion yesterday. It almost seems as though we've given it pretty soft language, you know, child neglect and child abuse.
It's not soft, not soft language, and it's not considered to be
regarded as that.
We don't encourage this. We discourage it. We try and educate the public. We try and educate young women that they have choices.
Yeah.
That they can make decisions, not only for their child but for themselves as well. Remember, that mother walks away knowing what she's done. And you can never tell me that woman has no feelings about
absolutely.
The child.
Absolutely.
I don't care how bad you think she is.
Yeah.
She carries that with her for the rest of her days.
Yeah. Do we have any numbers, Sue, that, you know, you gave me quite horrendous numbers of you know, the sort of deaths that are related to a month. Do we have, you know, and you spoke of my 3,500, which is the general number that's thrown out there when you go and you look at these particular things. Do you have anything that speaks to, you know, what the real situation would be in instances of this particular nature?
Okay, so there hasn't been research done for a couple of years.
Yeah.
That figure was based on some research done. What is desperately needed is new research.
Why are we not doing the? Why do you think we're not doing the research, Sue? You know, is
it's difficult to get the numbers and the information.
Yeah.
There is a process legally where when a child is abandoned and we then take the matter to children's court, we have to report that as a form of abuse or neglect. One of the options is abandonment. The Department of Social Development are then responsible for those collating, and they're saying it's a much less figure.
Mm.
But, you know, it's not an empirical study that's been done. And yes, that is a gap that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
I've had this idea that somebody should develop an app where anybody who's working with abandonment, whether it's the police, the security companies, the ambulances, the social workers, that you actually enter that into the app so that we can get some more empirical data.
Mm.
Because, you know, we need to know the extent of this problem.
Yeah. And when one deals with aspects of the law, you know, the practical implementation, generally you find laws are written and drafted in pretty broad ways, you know, and they can improve a lot, and you'd find criticism of that. So you know, do our laws, and in specific, I think this one would be the Children's Act 38 of 2005.
Yes, the Children's Act.
Sure. Would they be, you know, would they speak to every aspect of this and speak to, you know, the detail, or are there gaps in the law that needs to be just, you know, fine-tuned as well? Because you deal with the practicality of it, and you're dealing with the law, and you're engaging the very, very real sense of it. Do you find that the law works with you or sometimes against you?
Okay, so our Children's Act is a very well-written piece of legislation.
Yeah.
And I think that it does speak to this very well. The problem is the implementation of the act, and also the police in terms of investigating. Now, it's quite a difficult thing to investigate in some instances, but they also take incredibly long to come back with a report to say, okay, now we've declared this child abandoned.
Yeah.
Or if there's a mother that they suspect or find, it's even longer then to resolve the issues. And those mothers are then taken to court, charged, and sometimes spend time in jail as well, which that's the law. But I think we've got to address this in a more humane way.
Yeah. Talking then about addressing it in a more humane way, let's just talking about that aspect of relinquishing parental rights, right?
Yes.
And you were talking about there has to be a different way. You know, one's got to have empathy, and one needs to be able to say to some of these parents, listen, there is a different way, and instead of putting the child at risk, you know, put the child in a soft abandonment rather than a hard abandonment scenario. Let me ask you this. Does this work against you, in essence, or work against the law? That whole parental right thing for adoption, for example, if I was a 16-year-old and I had now just given birth to a young person, and suddenly I am not able at that particular point because I'm 16 and I think that the guardianship or consent, you know, kicks in at 18 years, and you need legal guardianship and you need legal consent for all of these things. And so I sit with an adoption problem where I am 16 years old, but I do not have the authority or I do not have the capacity.
I have to stop you there.
Sure, please do.
You can sign consent for an adoption, whatever age you are.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought it was related to the consent of a guardian or of that
you
particular.
You have to
age.
Have a guardian involved,
yeah,
if you're under 18. But you have to take responsibility to sign the documents and make the decision.
Yeah.
And that's important in relinquishing or consenting for a child.
Yeah.
Is that the mother and wherever possible the father,
yeah,
if we can find them and get them involved, have to be properly counseled and explained what they are doing. Because what are you doing?
Yeah.
You are giving up all your rights to,
yeah,
that child. And they have to understand that's what they're doing. So the courts are very strict that the parent understands,
yeah,
and she's been properly counseled.
Does that scenario work for somebody who doesn't have the guardian there and might not be wanting to present the guardian, and so the 16-year-old is with them by themselves, and the 16-year-old is sitting with an adoption issue where the 16-year-old would rather want the child adopted rather than put the child at risk. Does that scenario still also work? Can that 16-year-old sign without any guardian there? I think that's what I was leaning towards.
That would have to be debated in court and presented, and come up with something with the magistrate because it's such a final decision.
Yeah.
But you do have women who don't want their family to know.
That's the scenario I'm talking about, yeah.
And that's a complex issue because there is an approach that you have to tell the family whatever age the woman is.
Mm.
And then there is another approach that says, well, you have to respect the right of this woman to keep it private. But, there's more, there's this leaning towards the child belongs to the family. It doesn't belong to that woman.
Mm.
And so you have these very different approaches. There was a case where there were two women who didn't want their families to be contacted, and the matter was taken to court, and they won their case that they didn't want, that their families should not be contacted.
Yeah.
But that is being contested. The outcome of the case is being contested by the Department of Social Development, who believe that the child has the right to his family of origin, and we have to include them in that decision.
Sure.
So you're dealing with so many complexities in these cases.
Yeah.
And, the mother who leaves the baby, I think we've got to really understand that she's trying to just put this behind her. It's not healthy. It's not good for anybody.
Mm.
But it's a desperate act. Now, other countries have laws. Now, I happen to know that a lot of Roma children, gypsies, which is not the correct term, it's Roma, come over the border into Austria from the Czech Republic, and they're allowed to go into a hospital and say, I want to have my baby here, and I want to relinquish my baby. And they can walk out of there knowing their child is safe without giving details.
Yeah.
So we have to look at these sort of things. There are things called baby savers where, you can put your baby in a safe and walk away.
Mm.
Again, the Gauteng department don't feel that is a good option. And there are others of us who feel that at least the baby's safe.
Mm.
So you're weighing up these two sort of sides of the argument.
Mm, mm.
But the mother's the one who has to make that decision.
Mm. So tell me about the Impilo Child Protection.
It's interesting that you talking to me about this tonight, because on Thursday we're launching a new project, which is an abandoned baby rescue kit for the police, for the security companies, etc., etc. So that when they find a baby, there's a kit of keeping the baby warm, just the basic supplies, and then also instructions of what to do. So it's very important to take pictures of the area where the child was found. What was the child wearing? Because we've got to go and look now and put an ad for a child found at this time of the day, wrapped in this, etc. So we get a lot of abandoned cases referred to us, and we work with the police, and we try and find solutions, whether it's with the parents, and if they can't be found, it's an adoption, and the Act actually encourages the adoption for a clearly abandoned children.
Sure.
And that's a long, difficult process of getting the child, you know, ready for adoption as well.
And your funding model, Sue, how does your funding model work?
With great difficulty.
It works with great difficulty.
Okay, so we are funded by the Department of Social Development, but it's minimal. And it doesn't cover not nearly our expenses. We have to raise funds extensively all the time. And, so we, you know, we have a team that does that because it's a full-time job. And we also do have adoption fees, but those are minimal in terms of our overall expenses. Because our services, although we are not a big organization, we are 10 social workers. And that's, you know, we have to look after our staff and pay them. And we have huge costs around transport, etc., you know, driving out and court. And it's very complex and onerous work, this work that we do.
Sure. Sue, I'm gonna thank you so much for the conversation we've had tonight. I'm gonna say thank you so much, and here, I think you know, looking at the problem and engaging more of it, you know, and looking at the solutions will just, you know, just bring about more awareness. So, you know, I'm going to ask the producers as well that just down the road we bring you back and we just have the conversation. Maybe differently, but we have the conversation again. Sue Kravitz, I'm going to say thank you so much for coming on to Power Perspective.
Okay, good night. Thank you.
Good night, and thank you, Sue Kravitz.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.